I want to deal with something this morning because, well, I fear problems in certain areas. How many of you have ever agreed with everybody about everything? I don't see any arms breaking on that one. How many have agreed with your husband about everything or your wife about everything? What's wrong with you?
He agrees it's a lie.
He what?
He agrees it's a lie.
Oh my goodness. We have disagreements, do we not? There are things that we can disagree over. Would you agree with that? Okay. How many like snow? I mean, you like snow. Okay. How many don't like snow? Don't break your arm, Charlie. He's got to go out and play in it every time it's on the ground. One more winter, Charlie. Half winter. Well, that's what I meant, referring to this winter. Okay, Charlie's going to retire away from that. I was up and saw some of your handiwork yesterday. Oh okay. Anyways, we have differences in thoughts about different things. It's just the way it is. In our society, did I tell you turn to Romans 14? If you would please, I'm going to go there somewhat indirectly, but I want to share a number of things with you. Our society, even among Christians, is in need of civility. Would you agree with that one? By this, we accept those that are different or those who have different mindsets. Now, everybody thinks like you do or me. And, it's a pretty small world because we're right about everything and the rest of the folks are wrong. But seriously, that's not a true statement. Civility, what is it? Accepting those that are different or those who have a different mindset. There are two things that are on the horizon right now, and I'm just going to name them because they cause some problem. And one of them is, should we wear a mask or not? One of them is now coming up, should we get a vaccine or not? Now, no doubt in this room, there are folks who believe one thing, folks who believe another thing. And there are two hot items, really. One is for it, while another's against it. Okay? Or there are some who doesn't care in one way or another. But let me ask you this. Do we treat others differently because they don't necessarily agree with us? Do we get upset because we see people wearing masks, or do we get upset when we see people not wearing them? We have it on both sides of the street. Now, you're welcome to their opinion, but I'm talking about our civility amongst each other. Think about this. Notice verse number 5. We'll be coming back to it, but notice verse number 5 says, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. So there's two different thoughts there, is there not? Now notice that last sentence there. Let every man be fully persuaded where? In his own mind. Okay? And so that's something. There are things that you and I, we make our decisions. A lot of us based on our background. A lot of us based on what we, or should, probably is, based on the things that we know or the things we've read, the things we've come into contact with. And a lot of it has to do with who we've listened to. One of the things that has bothered me so much in the last, actually more than a year, is the fact that there are those who are in news media that we no longer can trust and don't give us facts by which we can make our opinions and come to our conclusions. And they do the conclusions for us and then tell us what we're supposed to believe. And if we disagree, guess what happened this week? You can't tell anybody else that you disagree with them, in social media anyways. That's another story. Now let's think about this. We are created in the image and likeness of God. True? We agree with that. Matter of fact, we go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Interesting statement. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. By the way, the word our there, I believe, is referring to the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so he is saying, let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make man in our image. But there's something else we find a few chapters later, and that is, we have the likeness of others before us. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 3, the Bible says, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image. Isn't that interesting? God says, let us make man in our image. And then it says that Adam begat a son. His name was Seth, by the way. And he says, in his own likeness after his image. Interesting, is it not? What's that say? Though we're in the image of God, we also realize that there's a lot of differences amongst us. We get saved, we're all sinners. But our sins and habits are all different. Isn't that true? We have different backgrounds, we have different abilities, we have different acquaintances, though we have the same Savior in God. Isn't that true? Do you agree with me? Each of us, over time, grow in the things of God. Like little children, we grow at different rates, and different things affect us. But we grow in the things of God. What this means is that we change our mind on many things. I don't know about you, but I've changed my mind on a lot of things. Matter of fact, last week I was talking to Francis just briefly, and I said to him, I said, you know, every time I read the book of Revelation, I change my mind. There's some little detail there that says, hey, what you thought before is not that. And there's a couple of those things. I've been back and forth a few times. Have you had the same problem? Okay, I'm not. Yeah. We change our minds on many different things. When we're honest and genuinely seeking truth, we must be willing then to admit when we're wrong. True? Need to be willing to. By the way, that becomes a real problem because pride begins to come in, and it keeps us, by the way, from growing. A prideful person never really allows God to build within them a graciousness and a kindness toward those who differ. And that's a sad, sad thing. Our beliefs ought to be rock solid where Scripture is definite. I don't believe we have any disagreement with that. But there are many things that Scripture, there are many Scriptures that can be taken in different ways. A lot of it dependent on our mindset. In other words, what we bring to it. Let me give you a thought here. There's a word in the Bible that we use, and the word is saved. If I say that you are saved, what do you think immediately? You're going to heaven. Do you realize in the Word of God, the word saved does not always refer to going to heaven? It can be saved from a circumstance. And so we have a natural tendency towards something, and a lot of times we interpret Scripture wrong as a result of that. Now, one of the biggest problems I find in pulpit ministry is saying something that may be perceived in the wrong way. And it's a very difficult thing. And thus we try to make things plain by using definitions, by using illustrations. The Bible calls parables. And so we want to try to make things clear. What's a big problem? Still we find, no matter how well we define, there's disagreements over biblical concepts, disagreements over priorities in life, and even what a godly lifestyle is. And those differences can range from how we dress to the doctrines we believe. Now, let's be clear on doctrine, though. There are those teachings that are vital to being a Christian. Let me give you one. Salvation is by grace and by grace alone. True, false? True. Judas was saved and lost it. Some believe that's true. And they have some pretty good arguments. I disagree with them. But I'm not going to get mad at them. I'm not going to call them names because of it. You see the difference? There is a real problem, though, if we have disagreement over salvation. Oftentimes, we find that there are teachings like separation that are dictated by current society. In other words, when we talk about that, there are things that we do and things that we wouldn't do. Now, when I first got saved, there was something that Christians were not supposed to do, and I loved doing it. I had done so since I was a little boy. That was to play pool. Why was pool considered sinful? How many of you ever played pool? A bunch of sinners. I grew up playing pool in my neighbor's basement. They had a pool table down there. And I and my friend Larry, we'd go down there and we'd shoot pool and do that many, many days. A lot of times it'd be raining outside, and so that's where you could find me. Between that and shooting a BB gun down there, that was what we did. And I loved to play it. I grew a little older. I went to my uncle's house one day, and I see a snooker table there. It's snooker, is that how you say it? And I thought, what in the world is this thing? This had weird-looking balls. They showed me how to play it. Then I found out that my uncle was a shark at it. He used to make money at it. There's where the problem with pool's at. It's not in the game. It's in what so many times took place with it. So there was two associations with pool. One was most pool was played in a bar. And so that was the association. And then many times people played pool and they would bet on it. So there's two things I believe that are wrong there that are associated with playing pool. By the way, you could do the same thing with marbles. True, false? Yeah. And so what was my mindset coming into it? I grew up in my neighbor's basement. Playing pool is not wrong. I did know this. I knew they had bought the pool table from a bar. Matter of fact, they had cut it in two to get it in the basement and put it back together again. But we had a great time. And it was just, you know, but then I learned, hey, that was sinful. So I had to figure out, why is that sinful? Why is it looked at that way? I don't believe probably anybody today that gets saved would look at it as being a sinful activity. Unless they really associate it with that. So our text, I believe, deals with these kind of issues. And I believe it deals with two very specific points of contention, diet and days. So let's begin here. Verse number 1 of chapter 14. And notice what it says. Him that is weak in the faith, what are we supposed to do? Receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Receive without dispute. Especially if we're the strong one in an issue, or we believe we are. He goes on and says, for one believe that he may eat all things, and another who is weak eateth herbs. I don't know if anybody here, but I've known people that, I mean, their life is all about herbs. And taking all these natural pills that grow on trees. Forgive me. And but seriously, herbs are, they're plants. And of course, God's given us all sorts of healing things, and so they study these things, and they eat those things. Others do not. He says, one believer they may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. What do we find? We find there's something different. But notice verse number 3. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. So if God has received them into his fold, though they have a different mindset on something, who are we not to? Who are we not to? Notice verse 4. It says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. What are we seeing here? I believe we're seeing here judgments in some of these areas that are not clearly marked should be left up to the Lord. He's able to make him stand. And what should we do? We should perhaps discuss those things without bitterness or anger or holding it against somebody because they have these kinds of things. It'd be good for us to seek another person's point of view. It might help us. We need to have a teachable spirit. By the way, a teachable spirit and a humble spirit, I believe they are equals. I believe actually one defines the other. But let's notice now, verses 5 through 8. And the real issue, I'm going to say this first and then we'll read this. The real issue is whether we are living as unto the Lord. Notice what it says. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be, we saw this, fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. Isn't that interesting? Different viewpoints, but there's something that's similar. He goes on, he says, none of us liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Wherefore we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. What's the real issue? Is the real issue what we eat or what we believe about certain things that are, I shouldn't say questionable, but things we can have two points of view on? The real issue is whether we're living for the Lord. That's the real issue. So some people, they can eat certain things, and they feel as though they're living for the Lord by eating those certain things. Particularly in that day, there were those who would buy meat that had been sacrificed to idols. Now, I know that most churches back then were Baptist because that meat was cheaper than the other, and it was Baptist brethren who bought the cheaper meat. And that's doctrinal, no. By the way, every denomination perhaps could say that. I don't know. We're the only ones to say the truth. Never mind. What's the real issue? We're living to the Lord. Okay? Some can eat it. They have no problem with it. Others, it bothers them. So they don't eat it. God accepts both. God accepts both if they're doing it as unto him. Interesting stuff. You know, we can judge a brother on their actions. We can look at what they do, but we cannot judge their motives. We just can't know those things. Now, we can see if they eat a certain food or make a certain day holy, but we cannot see their desire before the Lord. As it said, one can eat, another not, but both are the Lord's. Let's go on. Verse 9 says, "For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the living," or excuse me, "the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God, of Christ." Interesting, that verse is in this context. We're going to stand before the Lord, and every one of us is going to give an account of himself to God. Right? Now, the things, of course, we have to believe together, but there's some things that we disagree on. Every parent in here has a little bit different belief on how to handle their children. Matter of fact, you probably did not handle each child exactly the same as the other one. Why? Because they're different. And mamas, you probably looked at the one that was rebellious and said, "You're just like your dad." Because you could see that in him, but you couldn't see it in yourself. And dad looks and says, "Yeah, I can see they're rebellious like their mother." What I'm trying to say is, there are things we see differently, but we're still one in Christ. Tremendous, really. Okay? With all this in mind, it doesn't matter what we think. If we think we know more than another, but that we do not cause a brother to stumble as a result. It says in verse number 13, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge us rather that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." Very important. Now, there are certain things. If I'm around certain people, I'm going to probably try to do them. Let me give you an illustration. Many years ago, some friends of mine, they were singers. And from time to time, they would go to these churches that did not believe in wearing jewelry. Now, they go to a certain scripture and praise the Lord. I mean, they look at that and they say, "Well, that means you shouldn't be wearing any jewelry." And so, nobody have on jewelry. Well, the woman was used to wearing earrings, or she'd have a necklace on, and she had rings on her fingers. But when they went to that church, they removed all of that because they were monks and brethren that it might cause some problems with. Make sense? Yeah. I remember a lady years ago, she got involved with a group, and they didn't believe in wearing makeup. And next time I saw her, I thought, "My goodness, I think you need some." Oh, my. I've seen her in recent years. I want to tell you something. She's a beautiful lady, and beautiful inside and out. As far as I know, she don't wear makeup still. That's her deal. And it's not a matter whether she does or not. What really matters is she living as unto the Lord? I believe it's very important. You know, there's some things that are not worth arguing over, and we need to just disagree agreeably. Notice verse 14. I'm going to read several verses. He says, "I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with dry meat, or with thy meat, excuse me, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God, and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith we may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. In the evil we have differences of opinion, brethren, and we disagree on some things. There are things that are not worth destroying another brother's faith. It's not worth it. Matter of fact, it's harmful. I believe God's against it. I believe that's why this is written. And in the end, you and I, as individuals, we must live what we believe. Notice verse 22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so you and I, we just need to learn to live what we believe. And in many, many areas, not condemn, not be upset with, not argue with our brethren because they don't agree. If I like brown shoes and you don't, be happy I like brown shoes. By the way, did you know God created brown as well as black? Amen? Yeah. Let me put it to you this way. If a guy walks in our back door and he's got tattoos from one end to the other end of his body, he's got earrings on. And I'm not talking about those that dangle. I mean those things that are big round circles inside the ear. And I look at those and I wonder, what in the world? Now, I can personally disagree with it. But did I destroy him because of it? Is it worth destroying him over that? And please don't misunderstand. I believe I can preach from the Word of God and I can talk about the markings that are back in the Old Testament. But he's going to have to make his determinations based upon the Word of God. And the problem, though, with those things is once it's there, you can't remove them hardly. And I've known many men that wish that they didn't have those things. But it's there. Do we think less of them because of it? We had a missionary that was actually a member of our church for a number of years. And it really bothered him because he had great big tattoos up his arm on both sides. And it bothered him greatly because what he did as a missionary, he did with short sleeves most of the time. How many remember Don Fritz? Any of you folks? Chad? And Don wasn't your typical missionary. Don was one who believed that he was a missionary of helps. He knew how to build. He knew how to do carpentry work. He could do plumbing work. I mean, if it had anything to do with construction or repair, he was one of those guys that could do it. And so when God spoke to his heart about it, you might not know this, but he sold everything he had, took the money he had in the bank, and he went to Mexico to help people build their buildings, put up camps, and so forth. He didn't buy materials. He didn't do all the work for them. He was there to help them and that they might get the job done properly. If you've ever been around Mexican nationalists who are not in the upper class, you'll know that their building techniques are a little bit different than we do here. They don't think like we do. And so God used him, and he ran out of money. He had spent everything that he had and ran out of money. And somebody said, well, you need to go up to the States and seek some support from churches. And okay. That's what he did. I'd known him from Bible college, and he came here. A few years later, he joined our church, and he worked through our church and went to these different places. As a matter of fact, the lobby out here is some of his handiwork. There's a story out there that's petrifying every time I think about it. He had these big tattoos. It really bothered him. Did I think less of him because he had them? You couldn't pay me to get one. But am I going to think less because you do? Why should I? Why should I? If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, I mean, you believe he was virgin born, you believe he died on the cross, he arose again 3 days later. You believe salvation's by grace through faith. I mean, that is cemented in your heart and your mind. And of course, there are many other doctrines. But you got some little things in your life that are different. Am I supposed to condemn you over it? No. How we think and act in some areas is we're responsible to God for it. Okay? So don't get mad at me if I'm not doing what you do, and I shouldn't get mad at you because you're doing what you do. We're not talking about sinful things. Okay? I mean, is it sinful since I don't have one? I have had one. Since I don't have one, is it sinful for me? Is it sinful for Quentin to drive a Cadillac? Somebody said, well, man, he got a Cadillac. You have no idea the deal he got. I had the same thing happen to me. Probably bought it less than a middle-sized car. But see, people don't know that. All they see is you drive up in that. And they can make judgments of that. But we as Christians shouldn't do that. Am I making my point? And it's something for us to learn. And so we live in some days that there are things like that. One of the things I mentioned, coming down, it's come upon us. I don't know how it's all going to work out, but this matter of vaccine, I've heard people say, I won't get the vaccine. And I've heard people say, I will. And both are very intent upon their belief, and I can appreciate that. And I'm not going to condemn one or the other. I will disagree with one or the other, but it's not a matter of condemnation. Do you understand the difference? I can disagree agreeably in so many areas. And I hope that we can have the wisdom to know what those areas are. Well, let's have a word of prayer. By the way, that's something I hate. I hate that term. I use it all the time. I told Chad, I said, I hate that term. He uses it all the time. And we have a word of prayer. We need more than one word. That's what goes through my mind each time. So let's pray. Our Father, we have looked at some things that are very close at hand in our lives. And Lord, that sometimes we don't handle things wisely and discreetly. Lord, help us in that. Lord, we know that you give to each of us our background, you give to each of us the ability to think, and you allow us to have our opinions, and at the same time, as long as it's as unto you. Oh God, I pray that you might help us to understand that truth, and that really living for you is the big issue. And Lord, bless in the hour to follow, strengthen our hearts and minds. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God, we also realize that there's a lot of differences amongst us. We get saved, we're all sinners. But our sins and habits are all different. Isn't that true? We have different backgrounds. We have different abilities. We have different acquaintances. Though we have the same Savior in God. Isn't that true? You agree with me? Each of us, over time, grow in the things of God. Like little children, we grow at different rates, and different things affect us. But we grow in the things of God. What this means is that we change our mind on many things. I don't know about you, but I've changed my mind on a lot of things. Matter of fact, last week I was talking to Francis just briefly, and I said to him, I said, you know, every time I read the book of Revelation, I change my mind. There's some little detail there that says, hey, what you thought before is not that. And there's a couple of those things. I've been back and forth a few times. Have you had the same problem? Okay, I'm not. Yeah. We change our minds on many different things. When we're honest and genuinely seeking truth, we must be willing then to admit when we're wrong. True? Need to be willing to. By the way, that becomes a real problem because pride begins to come in, and it keeps us, by the way, from growing. A prideful person never really allows God to build within them a graciousness and a kindness toward those who differ. And that's a sad, sad thing. Our beliefs ought to be rock solid where Scripture is definite. I don't believe we have any disagreement with that. But there are many things that Scripture, there are many Scriptures that be taken in different ways. A lot of it dependent on our mindset. In other words, what we bring to it. Let me give you a thought here. There's a word in the Bible that we use, and the word is saved. If I say that you are saved, what do you think immediately? You're going to heaven. Do you realize in the Word of God, the word saved does not always refer to going to heaven? It can be saved from a circumstance. And so we have a natural tendency towards something, and a lot of times we interpret Scripture wrong as a result of that. Now, one of the biggest problems I find in pulpit ministry is saying something that may be perceived in the wrong way. And it's a very difficult thing. And thus, we try to make things plain by using definitions, by using illustrations. The Bible calls parables. And so we want to try to make things clear. What's a big problem? Still we find, no matter how well we define, there's disagreements over biblical concepts, disagreements over priorities in life, and even what a godly lifestyle is. And those differences can range from how we dress to the doctrines we believe. Now, let's be clear on doctrine, though. There are those teachings that are vital to being a Christian. Let me give you one. Salvation is by grace and by grace alone. True, false? True. Judas was saved and lost it. Some believe that's true. And they have some pretty good arguments. I disagree with them, but I'm not going to get mad at them. I'm not going to call them names because of it. You see the difference? There is a real problem, though, if we have disagreement over salvation. Oftentimes, we find that there are teachings like separation that are dictated by current society. In other words, when we talk about that, there are things that we do and things that we wouldn't do. Now, when I first got saved, there was something that Christians were not supposed to do, and I loved doing it. I had done so since I was a little boy. That was to play pool. Why was pool considered sinful? How many of you ever played pool? A bunch of sinners. I grew up playing pool in my neighbor's basement. They had a pool table down there. And I and my friend Larry, we'd go down there and we'd shoot pool and do that many, many days. A lot of times it'd be raining outside, and so that's where you could find me. Between that and shooting the BB gun down there, that was what we did. And I loved to play it. I grew a little older. I went to my uncle's house one day, and I see a snooker table there. It's snooker, is that how you say it? And I thought, what in the world is this thing? This had weird-looking balls. They showed me how to play it. Then I found out that my uncle was a shark at it. He used to make money at it. There's where the problem with pool's at. It's not in the game. It's in what so many times took place with it. So there was two associations with pool. One was most pool was played in a bar. And so that was the association. And then many times people played pool and they would bet on it. So there's two things I believe that are wrong there that are associated with playing pool. By the way, you could do the same thing with marbles. True, false? Yeah. And so what was my mindset coming into it? I grew up in my neighbor's basement. Playing pool is not wrong. I did know this. I knew they had bought the pool table from a bar. Matter of fact, they had cut it in two to get it in the basement and put it back together again. But we had a great time. And it was just, but then I learned, hey, that was sinful. So I had to figure out, why is that sinful? Why is it looked at that way? I don't believe probably anybody today that gets saved would look at it as being a sinful activity. Unless they really associate it with that. So our text, I believe, deals with these kind of issues. And I believe it deals with two very specific points of contention, diet and days. So let's begin here. Verse number 1 of chapter 14. And notice what it says. Him that is weak in the faith, what are we supposed to do? Receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Receive without dispute. Especially if we're the strong one in an issue, or we believe we are. He goes on and says, for one believe that he may eat all things, and another who is weak eateth herbs. I don't know if anybody here, but I've known people that, their life is all about herbs. And taking all these natural pills that grow on trees. Forgive me. But seriously, herbs they're plants. Of course, God's given us all sorts of healing things, and so they study these things, and they eat those things. Others do not. He says, one believer they may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. What do we find? We find there's something different. But notice verse number 3. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. So if God has received them into his fold, though they have a different mindset on something, who are we not to? Who are we not to? Notice verse 4. It says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. What are we seeing here? I believe we're seeing here judgments in some of these areas that are not clearly marked should be left up to the Lord. He's able to make him stand. And what should we do? We should perhaps discuss those things without bitterness or anger or holding it against somebody because they have these kinds of things. It'd be good for us to seek another person's point of view. It might help us. We need to have a teachable spirit. By the way, a teachable spirit and a humble spirit, I believe they are equals. I believe actually one defines the other. But let's notice now, verses 5 through 8. And the real issue, I'm going to say this first and then we'll read this. The real issue is whether we are living as unto the Lord. Notice what it says. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be, we saw this, fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. Isn't that interesting? Different viewpoints, but there's something that's similar. He goes on, he says, none of us liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Wherefore we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. What's the real issue? Is the real issue what we eat or what we believe about certain things that are, I shouldn't say questionable, but things we can have two points of view on? The real issue is whether we're living for the Lord. That's the real issue. So some people, they can eat certain things, and they feel as though they're living for the Lord by eating those certain things. Particularly in that day, there were those who would buy meat that had been sacrificed to idols. Now, I know that most churches back then were Baptist because that meat was cheaper than the other, and it was Baptist brethren who bought the cheaper meat. And that's doctrinal, no. By the way, every denomination perhaps could say that. I don't know. We're the only ones to say the truth. Never mind. What's the real issue? We're living to the Lord. Okay? Some can eat it. They have no problem with it. Others, it bothers them. So they don't eat it. God accepts both. God accepts both if they're doing it as unto him. Interesting stuff. You know, we can judge a brother on their actions. We can look at what they do, but we cannot judge their motives. We just can't know those things. Now, we can see if they eat a certain food or make a certain day holy, but we cannot see their desire before the Lord. As it said, one can eat, another not, but both are the Lord's. Let's go on. Verse 9 says, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be Lord both of the living, the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God, of Christ. Interesting, that verse is in this context. We're going to stand before the Lord, and every one of us is going to give an account of himself to God. Okay? Now, the things, of course, we have to believe together, but there's some things that we disagree on. Every parent in here has a little bit different belief on how to handle their children. Matter of fact, you probably did not handle each child exactly the same as the other one. Why? Because they're different. And mamas, you probably looked at the one that was rebellious and said, you're just like your dad. Because you could see that in him, but you couldn't see it in yourself. And dad looks and says, yeah, I can see they're rebellious like their mother. What I'm trying to say is, there are things we see differently, but we're still one in Christ. Tremendous, really. with all this mind. It doesn't matter what we think, if we think we know more than another, but that we do not cause a brother to stumble as a result. It says in verse number 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge us rather that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Very important. Now, there are certain things. If I'm around certain people, I'm going to probably try to do them. Let me give you an illustration. Many years ago, some friends of mine, they were singers. And from time to time, they would go to these churches that did not believe in wearing jewelry. Now, they go to a certain scripture and praise the Lord. I mean, they look at that and they say, well, that means you shouldn't be wearing any jewelry. And so nobody have on jewelry. Well, the woman was used to wearing earrings, or she'd have a necklace on and she had rings on her fingers. But when they went to that church, they removed all of that because they were monks and brethren that it might cause some problems with. Make sense? Yeah. I remember a lady years ago, she got involved with a group and they didn't believe in wearing makeup. And next time I saw her, I thought, my goodness, I think you need some. Oh my. I've seen her in recent years. I want to tell you something. She's a beautiful lady and beautiful inside and out. As far as I know, she don't wear makeup still. That's her deal. And it's not a matter whether she does or not. What really matters is she living as unto the Lord? I believe it's very important. You know, there's some things that are not worth arguing over, and we need to just disagree agreeably. Notice verse 14. I'm going to read several verses. He says, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with dry meat, or with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith we may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. In the evil we have differences of opinion, brethren, and we disagree on some things. There are things that are not worth destroying another brother's faith. It's not worth it. Matter of fact, it's harmful. I believe God's against it. I believe that's why this is written. And in the end, you and I, as individuals, we must live what we believe. Notice verse 22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so you and I, we just need to learn to live what we believe. And in many, many areas, not condemn, not be upset with, not argue with our brethren because they don't agree. If I like brown shoes and you don't, be happy I like brown shoes. By the way, did you know God created brown as well as black? Amen? Yeah. Let me put it to you this way. If a guy walks in our back door and he's got tattoos from one end to the other end of his body, he's got earrings on, and I'm not talking about those that dangle, I mean those things that are big round circles inside the ear. And I look at those and I wonder, what in the world? Now, I can personally disagree with it. But did I destroy him because of it? Is it worth destroying him over that? And please don't misunderstand. I believe I can preach from the Word of God and I can talk about the markings that are back in the Old Testament. But he's going to have to make his determinations based upon the Word of God. And the problem, though, with those things is once it's there, you can't remove them hardly. And I've known many men that wish that they didn't have those things. But it's there. Do we think less of them because of it? We had a missionary that was actually a member of our church for a number of years. And it really bothered him because he had great big tattoos up his arm on both sides. And it bothered him greatly because what he did as a missionary, he did with short sleeves most of the time. How many remember Don Fritz? Any of you folks? Chad? And Don wasn't your typical missionary. Don was one who believed that he was a missionary of helps. He knew how to build. He knew how to do carpentry work. He could do plumbing work. I mean, if it had anything to do with construction or repair, he was one of those guys that could do it. And so when God spoke to his heart about it, you might not know this, but he sold everything he had, took the money he had in the bank, and he went to Mexico to help people build their buildings, put up camps, and so forth. He didn't buy materials. He didn't do all the work for them. He was there to help them and that they might get the job done and done properly. If you've ever been around Mexican nationalists who are not in the upper class, you'll know that their building techniques are a little bit different than we do here. They don't think like we do. And so God used him, and he ran out of money. He had spent everything that he had and ran out of money. And somebody said, well, you need to go up to the States and seek some support from churches. And he said, oh, okay. And that's what he did. I'd known him from Bible college, and he came here. A few years later, he joined our church, and he worked through our church and went to these different places. Matter of fact, the lobby out here is some of his handiwork. There's a story out there that's petrifying every time I think about it. He had these big tattoos. It really bothered him. Did I think less of him because he had them? You couldn't pay me to get one. But am I going to think less because you do? Why should I? Why should I? If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, I mean, you believe he was virgin born, you believe he died on the cross, he arose again 3 days later. You believe salvation's by grace through faith. I mean, that is cemented in your heart and your mind. And of course, there are many other doctrines. But you got some little things in your life that are different. Am I supposed to condemn you over it? No. How we think and act in some areas is we're basically responsible to God for it. Okay? So don't get mad at me if I'm not doing what you do, and I shouldn't get mad at you because you're doing what you do. We're not talking about sinful things. Okay? I mean, is it sinful since I don't have one? I have had one. Since I don't have one, is it sinful for me? Is it sinful for Quentin to drive a Cadillac? Somebody said, well, man, he got a Cadillac. You have no idea the deal he got. I had the same thing happen to me. Probably bought it less than a middle-sized car. But see, people don't know that. All they see is you drive up in that. And they can make judgments of that. But we as Christians shouldn't do that. Am I making my point? And it's something for us to learn. So we live in some days that there are things like that. One of the things I mentioned, coming down, it's come upon us. I don't know how it's all going to work out. But this matter of vaccine, I've heard people say, I won't get the vaccine. And I've heard people say, I will. And both are very intent upon their belief. And I can appreciate that. And I'm not going to condemn one or the other. I will disagree with one or the other. But it's not a matter of condemnation. Do you understand the difference? I can disagree agreeably in so many areas. And I hope that we can have the wisdom to know what those areas are. Well, let's have a word of prayer. By the way, that's something I hate. I hate that term. I use it all the time. I told Chad, I said, I hate that term. He uses it all the time. And we have a word of prayer. We need more than one word. That's what goes through my mind each time. So let's pray. Our Father, we have looked at some things that are very close at hand in our lives. And Lord, that sometimes we don't handle things wisely and discreetly. Lord, help us in that. Lord, we know that you give to each of us our background, you give to each of us the ability to think, and you allow us to have our opinions, and at the same time, as long as it's as unto you. Oh God, I pray that you might help us to understand that truth, and that really living for you is the big issue. And Lord, bless in the hour to follow, strengthen our hearts and minds. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.